This is
Fight Disciples.
Welcome to podcast episode 458. We are the Fight Disciples, and this one is dedicated to the world of UFC. If it's the first time you've ever come across us, you can get us on iTunes. Fight Disciples is what you're looking for. FightDisciples.com is our website. Get on there. Everything's there for you, from Android feeds, Google Play, Spotify, to our social media outlets, and to our shop as well, where you can go and buy yourself some beer. And hopefully, at some point this year, there'll be some new merchandise to get stuck into. I was out sledging the other day where a gentleman spotted my scarf. Oh, yes. Check this out for a story, right? Now, bear in mind, I think I'm quite a distinctive-looking chap, right? You know what I mean? If you look at me, you know that it's me, yeah? Now, fair enough. I had my woolly hat on whilst we're doing a little bit of sledging, and the geezer spotted me Fight Disciples scarf. He come over, he goes, "Do you listen to the podcast, mate?" And I went, "Yeah, you could say that." He goes, "Fucking good, innit? Fucking good podcast, that." And I'm like, this guy don't know, does he? This guy don't know. And me and him, I didn't give it away either. I went for about 5 minutes whilst he was waxing lyrical about the Fight Disciples podcast to the geezer that's on the Fight Disciples podcast. Whoever you are in on the old sledge run in Bramall. There you go, mate. Thank you very much. Didn't even know
that's
it was
hilarious.
Me, mate.
Hilarious. Yeah, that's fucking brilliant. Well,
I was talking to him for 5 minutes. You'd think you'd pick up on the voice, right? I was surprised. You actually sound like the fella that's on it.
That's fucking hilarious. Did you have a face mask on?
No. I had a woolly hat on. Maybe if I took my hat on and you could see my shiny head, maybe that would have given it away.
Oh my
I don't
God.
Know.
That's brilliant. Okay, so flip side of that is, I mean, as they're doing the big Christmas shop the week before Christmas, getting all the booze in, and me and Jane are walking around, and I've got a face mask on, a full covering 50% of my kite. And as we walk around, there was a gang of young lads standing by the escalator, and he just went, "Oh, there's Nick Peter. Hey, Fight the Tribal. Hey." And Jane was like, "Oh, for fuck's sake." So basically, people recognize the talent with only 50% of his face showing.
Yeah.
And yet, you're basically marching around with a neon sign saying, "I'm a Fight Disciple. Yeah. Look at my scarf." Yeah. And you're still not getting recognized.
That's it.
I love it.
Tell you, mate. Face for radio. They didn't even recognize. The thing is, though, he had a conversation with me. He didn't even recognize my fucking voice. So it's not just my face, it's the voice as well.
Oh, brilliant.
Telling you.
Brilliant. I love it. Anyway, just fill everybody in on our... Because people probably think that we speak to each other every day, that we basically go fucking drinking each other every week, and we, you know, we spend a ton of time together. But actually, just to appear behind a wall, we probably speak to each other by text a couple of times a week.
Yeah.
The only time we really converse is when we meet at 9:30 on a Monday morning, turn our Zoom calls on, and we have a conversation. And some weeks now, I won't speak to you again until next Monday.
That's it.
But I think people think we're a lot more, you know, in touch. However, New Year's morning was very different. So I'm sitting with Jane. We're all comfy on the couch. We've got the cheese board out.
Yeah.
We're in our third bottle of Prosecco. We've got a few beers, proper tackles on the go as well, obviously. And we're settling into a little bit of
pajamas and dressing gowns. Don't forget that. Pajamas and dressing gowns.
Pajamas, dressing gowns, Jules Holland's on. It's just past midnight. And we brings in the new year. We're, you know, opening the front door, inviting in the new year as you do. Next thing you know, my phone goes. I look at my phone. It says, "FaceTime call Adam Cattle." And I was like, well, he's never FaceTimed me before. This must be important.
That's lies. I've never FaceTimed you before on New Year's Eve, but that's lies.
So then we get opens the call. Adam and his missus dressed up to the nines.
No. That's not what happened. That's not what happened, right? I'll tell you what happened, and you've missed a bit of the story there, right? So you've just painted your picture that you're three sheets to the wind, right? You're enjoying yourself, sat at home eating your cheese board, right? And what have you. Similar things are happening at Catterall Towers, right? I'm pissed as fuck. I've had about three bottles of champagne, sat in my living room, taking pictures of myself next to the television, blagging that I'm on the fucking South Bank having all the fireworks, right? So that's what was going on at Catterall Towers. So I said, my missus started talking to me about this fucking... She's been to see a ghostbuster, right? Like what? a spiritualist, right? She's been to see this spiritualist.
Oh my God.
So I need to backtrack the story. So she's been to see this spiritualist because she wanted to see what 2021 was going to bring her, right? So she's in there, mate. I'm telling you, mate, she's a fucking lunatic.
Did she pay?
Well, I don't know what happened, right? She did it one day over the holidays. Anyway, so this person's telling her all about family members that have passed on, and that they're, you know, she's connecting with them at that time. And then she's telling her things about her own career and all this type of stuff. So she's fucking buzzed up, isn't she? She's buzzed up. She said, we're going to be millionaires this year. I'm driving a Ferrari. This is what this woman said, right? Anyway, so she's fucking going on about it. But anyway, she brought up this spiritualist, right? And the spiritualist said, he works with one particular guy, doesn't he? One guy. Like, and he works for lots of different things, but there's just one prominent guy in his life. So I started fucking laughing straight away, yeah? And Katie's like going, it's Nick, that, innit? That's Nick. That's what they're talking about. Well, what did they say about Nick? They said, well, it doesn't matter where you go and who you work with, it's never the same unless it's with Nick. And I'm laughing my bollocks off. He goes, you go and do radio with this person, you go and do radio with this person and this, but it's never the same without that guy that you see every Monday morning, right? So I'm like going, to be fair, you're pretty right there, right? And having a bit of a laugh about it. So this was a week.
She's good.
So this was a week before, right? So this was building up to Christmas. So anyway, on New Year's, we're leathered. And she goes, shall we ring your boyfriend? Come on, let's ring your boyfriend because it's never the same without him, right? So that was the setup to the chat. So I'm pissed and I go, yeah, go on then. Let's get on FaceTime. So I hit the FaceTime and you didn't pick up. You didn't pick up the first time, right? Or the first couple of times, because I rang you a couple of times. And I started laughing going, he will pick up. Jane sat next to him and there's no way she's coming on FaceTime with me, right? It's just not happening. She has put the fucking anchor on that. She's gone away now to get fully dressed. She'll be in her dressing gown and she won't want... Anyway, next thing you know, you've picked up. So we're all there. I'm dressed up. Katie's in her dressing gown. Jane's in her dressing gown. You're in your gear as well. So that was the setup of the thing. And then... as you could tell, I was pretty drunk, man. I just went for about half an hour just absolutely rinsing into everybody and telling them that we're all going to Fight Island and leaving them behind.
No, exactly. And it wasn't half an hour either. We put the phone down a quarter to two.
Was it?
I spoke to you. It was about...
just after midnight.
Literally, it was about 12:10 when we got on the call.
Yeah.
And Jane went to bed at quarter to two. We talked for almost 2 hours. Basically, me and you were just going, bah, we're on Spice Island. We're leaving you behind with the kids.
and then they set up a WhatsApp group called Fight Disciples Widows. And I'm laughing. We're unlucky kids. Me, and then we just kept dropping pictures of us on Fight Island in the group. Yeah. There you go. This is us when we were dressed as Arabs.
Oh dear.
Yeah, that's the stuff that we get up to when we're not on this podcast. There you go.
Exactly.
Anyway, yeah. Fight Island.
Smooth.
Our COVID protocol. I'm a little bit worried, I'm going to be honest with you, mate. Our COVID protocols obviously start today. We've got to have our tests and all this type of stuff. But it's rife out there, isn't it, mate? Fuck it. I'm going in one of them bloody Kamzat suits or whatever they call them. I'm going to get bubbled up.
Well, I heard London at the moment's like 25% have got it. 25% of the population of the south are fucking riddled. So it's nowhere, like we're still tier three in Liverpool. I'm not sure about you, but...
Four.
We're about to go to tier four, and then I think we're going to have a national lockdown next week, which is going to bring its own issues in terms of us getting out the country. Mm. But we do start our COVID testing today. Weird, because we're potentially flying, 10 days or whatever it is. But, so if we had it today, in 10 days' time, you'd be clear of the quarantine, so you'd be double safe. And now I feel a bit like maybe I should have like gone out and licked a COVID person between Christmas and New Year just to run it through the system, just to get it done. But I think inevitably we're all
going to risk your life to go to work. Yeah, go and do that, Nick.
Just get it done. Get it in the bag. Get it.
Oh, I've had it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've only got one lung, but I'm all right. I'm ready to go. Fucking hell.
I'm ready to go fight Ireland. It is yeah. It is kind of bonkers out there. But yeah, man, listen. The reason this would be a killer to miss, because obviously Connor, there's no Dustin. Party like a Connor party.
No, Connor.
Dustin is huge.
We've had a taste of Fight Island. Yeah. We know how good it is. We've been to Fight Island. We know what it's like. We know what happens out there. Fuck me, man. Listen, what, before we get on to Connor, obviously we've no fights to review, sadly, from the UFC over the weekend just gone, and obviously nothing to preview coming up because we don't get going until the 16th with Holloway against Qatar. But I think it's only fair that we talk about Hamzat and Leon being off.
Yeah.
And just the narrative around that, because I spoke to Leon when the news dropped that Chimaev wasn't going to be able to make the 20th because he's had COVID. He hasn't recovered. Yeah. He hasn't recovered to the standards that they wanted him to recover to. He's struggling with, obviously, his recuperation, so therefore he wants a little bit more time. Fair enough. You know, Leon's had the same situation, and you know, you've got to give these people time in order to get back to 100%. It's a massive, massive fight for both guys. But Leon Edwards, like on text, we were just going back and forth. He goes, "Mate, I'm trying to get a fight. I want to fight January 20th. I haven't fought the whole of 2020. I want to fight. I don't give a fuck who it is. If it's Magny, if it's Chiesa, I understand it might be one of those because they're on the card already. I'm going to get on social media. I'm going to call out Jorge. I'm going to do all this stuff." I said, "Fucking sound. Absolutely sound. You're the, like we keep saying, you're the managing director of your own company. Get on there, mate. Yep. Start making some noise." But with them, with the UFC main eventing Magny and Chiesa now on that card and not keeping Leon on it, it seems quite evident to me that that fight is set up purely because they want Hamzat to be coming through. It's a fight for Hamzat rather than a fight for Leon, that fight.
Of course. Because they want Hamzat to have that top three, top four ranking in the welterweight division. They want to fast track him towards a welterweight title shot. Leon, for all the talent that Leon's got, Leon doesn't push the needle.
Yeah.
He isn't a massive draw. He isn't wildly exciting. He does grind his way through fights. He's a brilliant guy. And he's earned the shot at that welterweight title more than most. God only knows how hard that kid's had to work, how many people he's had to beat, top contenders he's had to beat to get to the position he's in. He has earned that the hard way. But unfortunately, you feel like Leon's face doesn't fit. And we talked about it on our New Year's Eve show. We talked about our prospects and our aspirations and our predictions for 2021. And we both had the same prediction. We both predicted at some stage Leon wouldn't be in the UFC. And moreover, Leon would headline a Bellator event. We both agreed that would happen this year. Yeah. This is a guy on the cusp of a title shot that is fighting an unranked, a guy who should be unranked. I don't know whether Kamzat's in the top 10, 15. Actually.
I think he's
probably is. He's probably in there. Yeah, he's in there now, but he shouldn't be because he hasn't beat anybody in the welterweight division to deserve anywhere near that ranking. But you're right, Leon's being set up to fail. And even if Leon beats Kamzat, he still ain't going to get a title shot. He's still going to have to go out and beat somebody else. The problem is nobody wants to fight him. He's king of the Who Needs You Club because he's fucking very, very good. He's one of the best fighters at 170 in the UFC. But he doesn't push the needle. The UFC don't fancy him. The only reward you're going to get is a pat on the back from Dana White. You ain't going to get a title shot by beating Leon. You ain't going to get anything. So no one in around that top five or six wants any piece of Leon Edwards. They've set him up perfectly for Hamzat, and they want him to. He will not get offered another fight until he beats Hamzat. Because I think if he loses to Hamzat, they'll probably cut him.
One thing that I liked about this whole narrative, even though I was gutted for Leon and gutted for Hamzat, because I think it's a great fight for both guys, one thing that I did like around this narrative is Kevin Holland. He's obviously our fighter from last year. He's had five victories in the middleweight division in a seventh-month period, right? We knew that there were talks about him and Brunson being made, and it's been finalised now, but we'll get to that in a minute. Before it came out that that fight was finalised, and I think that we were in the negotiations at the time, Kevin Holland chips up on social media, is going, "What's this? There's a vacancy at the Fight Island Hotel. Book us in. I'll do a catch weight if you want. I'll go and have a little bit of a knock Willie on Edwards. I'm thinking, you're a fucking lunatic, you, mate. But a lunatic that we are absolutely all on board with. Superb. So he tried to get himself a catch weight fight with Leon Edwards at the weight division, kind of below where he's currently fighting, all the while booking himself the toughest fight that he's probably had in his career at middleweight with Derek Brunson, which has now been confirmed, by the way, for March the 20th. Kevin Holland, bona fide gangster.
Bossing, absolutely brilliant. It's that kind of attitude, you see, that's made him not only a fan's favourite, but a favourite with the UFC, man. He's got to his position by taking opportunities when they come along. And for all, you know, he's got there now. He's ranked now. He's in the mix.
Yeah.
But he's not taking a backward step. He's like, nah, man, fuck it, man. Get me in. Keep me busy. Keep me fighting. Let's go. You know, and how can he not be a fan favorite? And I think he's two fights away, man. He's two fights away from a title shot. It's legit.
He might be close, you know. I mean, Brunson's no joke. I'm just looking at the other contender. I mean, there's Whittaker in there. I mean, Whittaker's the one. The problem is now is because we've had our worst nightmare has been confirmed for the middleweight division, because Israel Adesanya is going to go and fight Jan Błachowicz at light heavyweight. Yeah. We know that that's happening. That's happening at UFC 259. It's happening on March the 6th. Now, if anybody deserves an opportunity to become champ, it is Izzy. There's no doubt about that. The way that he's going about his business is fantastic. So for him and his pedigree and his legacy and all those types of things, cool. I'm fine with Israel Adesanya getting a shot at the light heavyweight champion against Jan Błachowicz. And for Jan Błachowicz, because it's probably the biggest money fight out there for him compared to everybody else that's knocking about in that light heavyweight division. But when you look at then middleweight, you know that division is going to be kind of locked down for a short period of time now. Because the champion's gone to go and fight in another division. He's probably not going to... I mean, if he comes through unscathed, you might get him again in another 5 months, 6 months maybe, at middleweight. So therefore, you've got that whole division locked down for the first half of this year. Same at light heavyweight, because the Glovers of this world, the Rakicis of this world, Prozatskas and all those types of guys that were coming through and doing bits, they're not getting a title shot for at least another 6 months, because obviously Jan's fighting Israel Adesanya. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens at middleweight in particular, because Whittaker fought on Fight Island. You would think he's going to fight in the first half of this year. Who's he going to fight against? Who's the contender? He's just beat Jared Cannonier. Mm-hmm.
Hermanson? I think part of the reason is he's able to jump up, though, is the fact that Whittaker didn't call for the fight. Whittaker was like, whatever, man. I'll fight Izzy whenever. I'm in no rush for it. I'm gonna have a nice break. You know, that's Whittaker's new attitude is, I'll fight when I'm ready, not when the UFC need me to fight. And that's good for his mental health, man. As long as he keeps on track with his career, then I'm fully supportive of whatever Robert Whittaker wants to do. But instead of going to the next guy in line, because he clearly is the next guy in line, because that was a final eliminator, that has opened the door for Izzy to go, oh yeah, then let's go up. Let's unify these belts. Let's add to my legacy. And him being a rock star and Jan Błachowicz seemingly looking like a weak champion, in a similar way that when GSP came back, it was because Bisping was a weak champion. I think that is why the UFC have facilitated it, because he can go there and he is capable of beating Jan. That's not no discredit to Jan, who's in the form of his life, but you know, would they have moved him up when John Jones was there? I would argue they didn't, because of the reason being that John Jones would have wiped out Izzy's momentum, whereas I think he can add to Izzy's momentum now. So I get it. It works for everyone at the UFC, and it works for both Israel
fighters.
Adesanya.
It works for both fighters.
Of course. Because Błachowicz gets a biggest fight of his career. Izzy gets to add to his legacy in a massive way, and the UFC gets to promote Izzy from being a superstar in Australasia, being a world champion, to go up to next level pay-per-view draw. So I kind of get it. But it's at the sacrifice of two weight divisions. It's at the sacrifice of Glover Teixeira's work, Kevin Holland's work, everyone really. And that's upsetting, because that's what the UFC does better than boxing. It facilitates the continuous movement of these weight divisions. Now, I wouldn't be against, with that argument now being done, I wouldn't be against the UFC saying, right, Robert Whittaker, are you available in March for an interim title fight at middleweight?
Go on.
And
Where are you? I was waiting for you. I was waiting because Vittori's just beaten. Wait a minute. Vittori has just beaten Hermansson. So Vittori, yeah. Vittori's next.
Or Kevin Holland.
Or?
Reward that momentum of Kevin Holland. Listen, Till can't get the shot. Till needs to get back and get that win. To be honest with you, I wouldn't be against them saying, let's do Whittaker versus Holland for the interim belt while your middleweight champion is away.
Yeah.
And let's just keep Whittaker busy, give Holland his rewards.
Vittori Till's the fight, isn't it?
And let's do Vittori Till. There's your other contender then. So you get the best guy out of Europe as a standout contender in time for summer. You keep Whittaker busy. You give Kevin Holland the work he deserves. And you keep the middleweight division moving along while Izzy goes up and satisfies his age to add to his legacy. Because Izzy ain't staying there. He's not career light heavyweight.
No.
He's going to come back down to middleweight. If he comes back down, then you've got a standout challenger in the winner of Whittaker versus Holland.
Yeah.
Then you've got a standout challenger in terms of who comes through Vittori versus Till, because there's real narrative there. And then if Izzy wants to go back up and defend the light heavyweight belt, you can make a little bit of a roadmap. Listen, I know the UFC listened to this show because of the unofficial lightweight tournament, which we'll come on to in a second, which we designed on this show on an open mat. This is how you keep the middleweight division moving, bring in an interim belt, put it up for grabs in March or April. And that gives us a standout guy for Izzy to come back to. And I know that's Whittaker already, but we can't just let everybody else stagnate at middleweight because Izzy wants to add to his legacy. It's not fair on everyone else.
Yeah, agree.
Whittaker could have had that fight, Adam, and he didn't take it. So Whittaker now, for me, should fight Kevin Holland and it should keep moving along.
I have no problem with Whittaker not doing it, though, given what we know about him and what he needs to do for himself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you're right in what you're saying. You can't hold the division up. So I think, listen, you've got a track record, mate, of roadmaps, of which we are getting into right now, because check this out, UFC 257, which is, 19 days away now as we record this podcast. Okay. We know what the main event is. Dustin versus Connor. That's the main event on the night and a key integral part of the lightweight tournament. But also featured on that card, Dan Hooker will welcome Michael Chandler to the UFC. Oh my days. You're only waiting for one more fight to get made and you're off. You've done it, mate.
Yeah, we've just got to get Gaethje maxed up now, haven't we? We get Gaethje maxed up with an RDA or a Ferreira or a
Makhachev,
or something. Yeah, well, I like Makhachev, and I think Makhachev has the ability to potentially go on and win this belt. My issue with Makhachev is you can't pull out of two fights with RDA and let RDA continue fighting and do that work and beat Felder.
Yeah.
And then suddenly just jump back into my lightweight tournament.
So you're saying my lightweight tournament. So you say Gaethje RDA. That's what you're saying.
I would do Gaethje versus RDA. There's no way Makhachev shouldn't jump above RDA. He pulled out of the fight twice. Okay. RDA for Felder and won. RDA versus Gaethje is the perfect fight to me.
Okay.
And also, if you look at the seedings as well, if you were unofficially seeding this tournament.
Yeah, but you've not Gaethje, unofficially. This is the official seedings. This is your official seedings.
In my official seedings of this tournament, Gaethje is seeded number one. And RDA was seeded number eight anyway. So
that's
it's perfect.
Yeah, it's fair.
That's the way it should be, man. That's the way we do it. So yeah, man, it's awesome. It's awesome. I think we do Gaethje versus RDA in March. Then I think we set up in the spring the two semi-finals, which is Cowboy Oliveira versus the winner of Poirier versus McGregor.
This is Cowboy Oliveira or Charles Oliveira?
Charles Oliveira.
Where's he
come from? Charles Oliveira versus Poirier versus McGregor winner. This is July. And then co-main event is the winner of Chandler Hooker versus Gaethje / RDA. There's your semi-final bracket set up for July. And then we end the year with a new lightweight champion. Oh, man, so exciting. So exciting. I love it when a plan comes together.
Yeah, but what a fight, Hooker-Chandler, man. Hooker Chandler is an amazing, amazing fight. I mean, Dan Hooker, yes, he's coming off the back of a defeat to Dustin Poirier. But what a fight that was. A fight of the year contender. We awarded it, didn't we, on our open match show, round of the year, round two, where Dan Hooker looked like he was going to get Dustin Poirier out of there, but the fucking whiskers on Poirier kept him in. It was a wonderful, wonderful fight. And Chandler's coming with a reputation from Bellator. All right. Yes, it's Bellator. It's not the UFC, but he's a three-time champion over there. He wasn't the champion when he left, granted. He might be at a certain stage of his life and career where he isn't necessarily in his prime, but there's a lot of hype about the guy. We've met the fella. My attitude towards the fella has most certainly changed from meeting him, being around him and speaking to him. I want him to do well because he talks so fucking well. I just think this is a hell of a shark tank to be jumping straight into. And people like Dan Hooker are no joke. No joke whatsoever. Nope. It's a brilliant, brilliant fight. I favour Hooker to win it, but it's a hell of a fight.
Yeah, bizarrely enough, obviously, from the outside looking in, you'd go, you know, kind of like experienced veteran legend against, you know, next generation coming from New Zealand, however it may be. But when you actually break down the numbers on these guys, yes, Chandler's a couple of years older, but Hooker's actually had five or six more fights in his career. Hmm. He's actually the more experienced guy. And I would also argue the fact that Hooker's been competing in the UFC, which is the Champions League of the sport, for obviously the best part of five, 6 years, whatever it may be, 7 years.
Against the best guys.
That's what I mean. There's nowhere to hide in the UFC. When you get to a certain level, you're fighting the best guys. And, you know, the losses on his record prove that he only loses to the very best, certainly in the lightweight division. Whereas you look at Chandler, and yes, he's a multiple-time Bellator champion. He was the poster boy of Bellator for a long time. And his only losses over there were against Will Brooks, who looked absolutely incredible, Eddie Alvarez, and Pitbull. But unfortunately, just to come back to two of those names, Eddie Alvarez came over to the UFC. Yes, he became lightweight champion, but he certainly didn't have it all his own way. And competing at that level has just broke him down, and he's been forced to leave the UFC to keep his career going. Just shows you the high level the UFC is in. And Will Brooks, man. Will Brooks, when he was in Bellator, looked absolutely incredible. And when he came over to the UFC, I think it was 5 years ago now, we were all going, holy shit, this guy is legit. He's the Bellator champion. He smashed Michael Chandler twice. He beat this guy, beat that guy. He is the bollocks. This is the guy that's going to stand out. And he come in, he beat up Ross Pearson, got a win on his record, then got smashed by Cowboy Oliveira. Not Charles Oliveira, but Cowboy Oliveira beat him. Then Charles Oliveira beat him. Then Nick Lentz beat him, who's fighting Mike Grundy in a couple of weeks' time. And then Will Brooks was sent packing out of the UFC, last seen heading towards PFL. So that's what makes it so difficult, you know, for all the experience and all the talent that Chandler's clearly got, and for all the big game experience that he's got in terms of him being the poster boy of Bellator, you just don't know what's going to happen when you come over to the Champions League, especially at age 33, 34. Dan Hooker, that fight will either be a fight of the year contender, or I believe Dan Hooker will smash him to bits. Yeah. I don't see Michael Chandler smashing Dan Hooker.
No.
I just don't see that happening.
No.
Can I see Dan Hooker being levels above Michael Chandler? Yes, I can. Can I see it being a fight of the year contender? Absolutely, I can. And that's the way I'm probably siding with it. I think it's going to be a cracker. But to be honest, heading into it now, in my tournaments, I think this is probably the worst possible outcome for Michael Chandler. This is the worst possible matchup, because Dan Hooker isn't one of my top four seeds. And Dan Hooker is a guy that is very big for the weight division and is very good everywhere as well. And is durable and game and tough. And we know we've seen him there, man, with Dustin Poirier. We've seen him go to the well and dig deep and come through. And again, that's not to say Michael Chandler can't do it, but I just think out of the eight men in this tournament, Dan Hooker brings the least amount of star name power.
Yes.
And opposed to the amount of talent as well. Whereas if you come in, you're Michael Chandler, and you get beat up by a Conor McGregor, or you get beat up by a Justin Gaethje, you're not going to be dropped out of the top 10. But if Michael Chandler comes in and gets beat by Dan Hooker, I guarantee he will not be ranked in the top 10 in the aftermath.
Hmm.
It's a worst possible scenario for Michael Chandler.
A lot of pluses for Dan Hooker, though, coming off the back of Poirier fight. I mean, the hype that is around Chandler coming into the UFC is absolutely astronomical. 100%. I mean, the guy was on Fight Island. Again, I keep reiterating, I loved him. Loved being around him, watched your interview with him. I thought he was absolutely mustard. He's been brilliant for the media aspect of this. So for Hooker, he sits there going, fucking hell, they're hyping this dude up. And I know that he's on big wages as well. Fuck it, man. Let's go and have some fun. If he gets a win here, then all of a sudden, he's right back in. Because he was on the cusp. When he fought Dustin Poirier, he's on the cusp, isn't he? The winner of that fight is in there. You're talking about them in real title contention once again. If Hooker comes through a fight with Chandler, and again, we're talking lightweight tournaments and various things like that, you never know. That might, they might go down the route of Gaethje. They might go down the route of the winner of Poirier and McGregor for him. You never know where that is going to go. Mate, exciting times. Yep. Exciting fight, exciting card as well. Some decent little fights on that card, you know. I was just looking at it yesterday because Conor cards are always about Conor. It's just about the main event, always. But I'm looking down the card and you can see that Shane Burgos is there against Hakeem Dawoodu. And that is a wonderful, wonderful fight. Amanda Ribas is also on that card as well. There's a little bit of something for everybody. There's a little bit of something just to keep you entertained for a few hours before the big boys arrive in the main event. And obviously with that co-main there, fair play. 257. Yes, starting the year off with a boom.
It's a belter. Absolute belter. And you know what? I think we're going to be there for the duration, hopefully, because we've got three fights in the space of 7 days, starting on the 16th with Holloway versus Qatar, which is an absolute bomb burner of a fight, by the way. What a way to start the new year for UFC as well. We've just seen Boxton absolutely hit the ground running with Luke Campbell and Ryan Garcia. That was a brilliant, brilliant fight. And I think Holloway versus Qatar is going to live up to the momentum of that as well. But the good thing is we're getting lots of Brits out nice and early too. You know, Tom Brees is on that first card.
Is that the co-main? That's the co-main in the first one, isn't it? Tom Brees?
It is at the moment, but I don't know whether it will end up as co-main. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Ponzinibbio versus Jing Liang's on that card as well, which I think for me has probably got a higher status, even though it's a different weight division. Joaquin Buckley's on the card. Woohoo! Versus Alessio De Siqueiro. So that's definitely going to be main card as well. I just hope Tom Akhmadov remains on the main card. I hope Mike Grundy, Nick Lentz, hopefully makes the main card. Probably only one of them will. But again, we hit the ground running, don't we, man? What a card that is. And the main event is sick. It's going to be a war.
Well, that all gets underway on January the 16th. There is a card still remaining on January the 20th, even though we don't have Khamzat against Leon. It will be Magny and Chiesa as the main event. And then on 23rd is, of course, UFC 257.
Yeah.
Where Hooker and Chandler are added to Poirier and McGregor. It has been released. It has been released, hasn't it? The broadcast times. I just wanted to put this out there for the UK, fight fans. Because I was reading something on the American broadcast time. So you can work it out. So if it hasn't been officially released as of yet, don't come at me, UFC. Your ESPN mates have released this. So what I'm understanding is that UFC 257, Conor Dustin, that will cater for the American pay-per-view audience. We kind of said this last year. We said that this would happen last year. So you're looking at a main card start in the UK at 3 a.m. in the morning. All right? That's what you're looking at. The week previous, the 16th, that is going to cater for a more European-friendly time zone. So by my reckoning, my workings out were that the main card would be around 8 p.m, something like that. The midweek one, this is mad.
The 20th,
that works out that the main card is on at 2 p.m. or 3 p.m. in the afternoon in the UK.
What?
Mate, it's mad. The way that it works out, it's absolutely mad.
So all three are different time zones?
The midweek one is earlier than the weekend one, yes. For a UK broadcast. I might have got that slightly wrong, actually. It might be 5 p.m. main card. It's definitely early evening main card on the Wednesday.
So that means from Fight Island, the 16th card, the first Saturday card, the Qatar versus Holloway, is probably going to be about midnight or something like that, one in the morning, main event. For us, this is not for UK. The midweek one is probably going to be about 9 p.m. In the evening, or 7 p.m. in the evening. And then obviously the Connor Dustin one is going to be at
7 a.m., 8 a.m.
6 o'clock in the morning or something, some shit like that.
Yeah, I think local time, this is the thing, local time for Dustin and Connor, I think they walk at 9 a.m.
Bloody hell.
That's mad, that, isn't
Again, it? Again, that brings its own issues. You know, that brings its own issues. It's going to be absolutely bonkers. Yeah. Acclimatizing and all that. Those guys are going to have to get in there early. But, bear in mind, it's three fight events in the space of 7 days. So you're talking about at least 24 fighters per card. It's going to be insane. There's 70-odd fighters floating around.
Plus, think about it as well. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see where they put these fighters. Because, all right, the guys on the 16th, they'll have come and gone. They'll be shipped out on the 17th. So they'll be in, they'll have done their business, they'll be out on the 17th.
But what I mean is everybody on the 23rd is still going to have to be there for them. They're going to have to be there at least a week in advance.
Of course. And they're also going to be, are they going to be in the same hotel in and around the guys and girls that are fighting on the 20th who are on a different time zone?
Of course.
So we know what it's like. I mean, I've walked around that hotel when you can hear people on pads and mitts at fucking 2, 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning. It's fucking loud. It's a loud place to be, mate. If you're trying to get some,
and then post fight, that bar was rocking. Connor's not going to be happy if Max Holloway's doing shots at 4 o'clock in the morning and doing karaoke like Robert Whittaker was.
He might Connor's be if it's proper 12. He might be if it's proper 12. He might let him off. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things to consider here. And especially if you're a fighter on that card on the 23rd, you are catering for the American pay-per-view audience, but you locally, you are sleeping during the day. I don't know how hot it is right now, but it's bright. It's a bright up. I know the sun goes down relatively early, but acclimatizing and getting your fucking sleep patterns right and various things like that to be ready to rock and roll for 7 a.m., 8 a.m., 9 a.m. local time to fight, that's a challenge. That's a massive challenge. And getting your weight cut right for those times as well, man.
Yeah. Yeah, you're looking at sunset about 6 p.m., sunrise 7 a.m. So it is, as you say, the sun does set early, but it's still 24 degrees.
Mate. Yeah, but listen, don't get too excited about that. You can get excited as you want. You're covering it, you dickhead. You are going to be on the same time zone as them. Do you think they're getting up in the middle of the fucking day to come and do an interview with us? No, they're not. It's going to be, you want to interview Conor McGregor? You're doing it at 5 o'clock in the morning, pal. Go on, crack on. Yeah. That's how that's going to roll.
True. It's going to be crazy.
Nobody's feeling Nobody's feeling sorry for us, mate. For us listening to the show. But yeah, entertaining stuff. Lots to consider when it comes to the fighters, obviously preparing for these fights with the time zones.
Umbrella-wise, then we've got, 36 fights on average. Let's say we've got 35 fights we're going to be covering over the space of a week, 7 days. Which ones have you already picked out and gone, boom, can't wait for that? Other than Connor, obviously. Which are the fights? Anything on the undercards or anything like that? Obviously, we're both disappointed. Hamzat versus Leon would have been spectacular midweek. That would have been absolutely spectacular. That would have made it the perfect week of all weeks. But anything else? Anyone else floating around?
Yeah. Well, other than main events for all three, because I think all three main events are really, really good. And I know that we've mentioned Hooker and Chandler. I've already mentioned it. I think Shane Burgos, who was involved in that amazing fight with Josh Emmett earlier on this year, taking on Hakeem Dawoodu. I'm a big fan of both of those dudes. I can't see that being shit. They're both fucking they both come to fight, man. That is going to be... There's going to be a bonus on that fight somewhere. It's a belter. Real good. And that's on the 23rd, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Go on. What have you picked out? Yeah.
Well, first of all, I'll run through the Brits. Obviously, we mentioned it again. The first fight, 16th, Mike Grundy takes on Nick Lentz in the featherweight division. That's a massive opportunity for Grundy to get the biggest win of his career on that card. Tom Breese returns at middleweight, obviously after that win last time out on Fight Island. Hopefully Tom has got the blinkers on now about his career. He's taken on Amari Akhmadov and another big win there, and suddenly Tom will get propelled back to where he belongs, and that's at the top of the rankings, because we know he's got all the talent in the world. Then the midweek show, your boy's out. Mason Jones makes his UFC debut on the Wednesday. That's against Mike Davis. That will no doubt be the curtain jerker, but so excited to see Double Dragon out on Fight Island doing his thing. He's Adam's one to watch in 2021. He's going to be a superstar. And also on that card, my boy, the bullet chewer, Lerone Murphy, Manchester.
That's a fight, by the way, against Douglas Silva.
Against Douglas Silva, the Andrade, mate. That is a brilliant fight for Leon. A massive opportunity for him. This guy is at the top of this rankings, man. He's only ever lost to the best guys. You know, Peter Yan was his last loss. He's got wins over Marlon Vera. He's got a win over Henan Barao last time out. The Andrade has got massive kudos in this sport. And Lerone Murphy, once we smash the Andrade to bits, my boy, the bullet chewing ain't going to be a secret no more. So I'm super looking forward to those guys. Just sticking to that midweek. That's a great fight.
Yeah,
that's a main card fight. I can't wait for it. Sticking to that midweek as well. I love Matt Schnell, as you know, the flyweight. He's taking on Tyson Nam. That's going to be a cracker. And Carlos Condit versus Matt Brown. One for us old boys. Two absolute stars from a bygone era still flowing down.
Is that not on the 16th? Yeah. Is that moved on to the Wednesday? I thought it was on the 16th.
That's been moved to the Wednesday now, yeah. That's on the midweek card, yeah.
Mm.
But as you say, there's fucking absolutely loads for us to go after on there, and it all builds towards the final weekend. And, oh, yeah, obviously, incidentally, one final Brit out on Fight Island on the final card. Probably will be main card as well. Joanne Calderwood looks to get hit. Flyweight aspirations back on track against Jessica Eye. That'll be main card on the undercard of Connor, no doubt.
Mate, the more I think about it, there's some fucking bangers on here. Absolute bangers. Yeah. I know that I've gone crazy on the Burgos and Duoda fight. I know that... Listen, I see Mason Jones coming through that against Mike Davis. So yeah. I want him to put a bit of a show on. I think the best fight that any Brit is involved in is Lerone.
Yeah.
That is a hell of a fight. And also, did you mention Pedro Munhoz and Jimmy Rivera? That's a nice little knock as well, which is in the midweek. Listen, we're going to be blessed. And it's a wonderful, wonderful start to 2021. As I said, for British fight fans, you might need to take Thursday off. You might need to take it off or Wednesday in order to, that 20th, in order to watch the fights, because the prelims are going to get underway at like midday. Or just do it at work. Fuck it. Nobody's in the office, are they? It's COVID regulations. Just put the telly on. Exactly. and just enjoy yourselves. Should be an absolute cracker. I'm sorry that the show is a little bit shorter than usual today, but there's no fights to preview or review, but we thought we'd get stuck into a little bit of 257 and Fight Island and a couple of other talking points. I'm sure there'll be more to talk about next week. Fingers crossed. We're not talking about fights that have fallen off. We're only talking about fights that have been booked and get us all giddy and excited before we set off on our jollies. To Fight Island, as our wives like to put it. Thank you very much for listening to us. You can get us on iTunes. Fight Disciples is what you're looking for. FightDisciples.com is the website. Everything's on there for you. And we'll catch you next time.
Thank you for listening. If you like what you heard, subscribe via iTunes.